Welcome to Board Games Are for Losers, a podcast where two friends with the same name talk about everything board game related and introduce new players to the hobby. On this episode, the losers pick a winner by talking about a game that they enjoy and recommend. And now, here are your hosts, the biggest losers in all of board gaming, Darren and Darren.
Welcome to Board Games Are for Losers. I'm your host, Darren.
And I'm also Darren.
And on today's episode of Losers Pick a Winner, we will be talking about the game Space Base with help from returning guest and world-famous board game designer, Max Jamelli. Max, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, guys. Glad to be here.
You're world-famous. That's awesome.
I am.
You haven't taken us with you to that world-famous status, have you?
Well, you're the one who put me there, so.
Oh, that's right. So we had you on, it's got to be, 2 years ago? Maybe episode 7 and 8 time frame. Yeah.
Sounds right.
And you came over to my house at the time when we were allowed to see people and be normal.
Good
and,
old days.
Oh, yeah. So we and we talked a lot about your background and then about your hopefully upcoming game, Lords of Baseball. So what can you tell us about where we stand with that right now?
Well, the good news is the game currently is with the final art department. The artist is working on some of the icons and cards, and that means we're in the home stretch. I guess we're standing on third base ready to come home. So good news on that front.
I don't understand the reference.
Well, that's good. And it's going to go to Kickstarter?
Probably, yeah, I believe so. I believe that's the plan. I don't think anything's changed on that front. So I'm assuming, it's not going to be on Kickstarter this week, as we're talking, but it's definitely in the very soon department. I got online and I mentioned sooner rather than later. The one thing this process has taught me is that dates are flexible. And
yeah.
I remember thinking, this game was going to get put out in 2014. Right. And then I thought it was 2015. So, we're definitely at the point where, the artist is sending mock-ups back to us. So we are there. Okay. We're very, very much close to the end of this very long process. But I'll tell you what, since we started working with Jeff, the process has gotten a lot more fun. I said it on the show last time in episode 8, but every time I think about, the journey that my father and I have been on through this, meeting up with Jeff has been easily the best part of it.
Good. That's awesome. That's really cool. And we'll probably have you back on when that launches so we can just do some promotion for our two listeners. And hopefully one of those two listeners will back it and we'll be good to go.
I think both of them should. And it makes a fabulous holiday presents and birthday presents.
They run. You're referring to me and you, right?
Right. And the two listeners
expect you both to back it at the retailer level. Six copies to give to your friends.
I want the gold platinum one. There's going to be an $800 level where it just comes tinged with gold.
It also comes complete with lunch with the designer. $1,600. I'll buy you lunch.
I can get that for free.
So Max, normally we see you every year at World Board Gaming Championships, and that was canceled this year due to the pandemic. So what have you been doing? Have you been able to continue to play? How's it been going?
I play a lot online through various web programs and online portals. There's a group of guys that you call them con friends, but then they just become your friend. You guys aren't my con friends anymore. You're just my friends.
Right.
So yeah. There's a couple people that I would play a lot with during WBC. And one of them had an idea that, let's try to play Air Baron on a table. Now, that's the game I GM, and it's goofy fun. It's bingo with planes. So I would set it up on my table, and then the other people had their board set up, and we just played through Google Meet. And if somebody bought something, we all did the bookkeeping at our own tables. Yeah. And that kind of, expanded to playing through some computer systems. And, you know, the coolest part of the whole being home quarantined and stuff is getting my wife and son further into gaming. So like my son will, he'll play more advanced stuff now. Like I remember back in January of this year, like we were still playing Payday with him.
Yeah.
And I told my wife, I said, you know, we gotta start, like he's played other stuff. So yeah. we got into, you know, the game we're going to talk about today and, you know, so many more. So like as many games as I would have taught over WBC, I taught my son and wife over the course of the last, what is it now, 7-8 months or so?
Yeah, I have no idea what month.
Yeah.
And nobody knows when this thing will be released, so it could be 2022 by the time this episode's released.
What are these guys talking about? Things are good right now.
Things are great. Wait, so Payday, how does that hold up? Because I played that as a kid.
No. Well, I didn't play it as a kid, but my wife did. Huh. You got to realize, I grew up with, you know, my father is a grognard. He didn't believe in Payday. I mean,
yeah.
I got Carrier Strike and Broadside and like these other games that were like big with miniatures, and but Payday's pretty bad. Okay. Yeah, I won't lie to you. When you get to the one square that says like it's the lottery and everybody puts money in and like you just roll until somebody wins.
Yeah.
Like that, as far as mechanics go, that's pretty bad.
That's terrible.
It is. Like at least like with Sorry, like because we're starting to play Sorry too with the kid, and that would just be frustrating. Like the you'd be relying on the deck to get your pieces out and then right, whatever.
Yeah, I remember that.
But that was still functionally better than Payday for me.
Oh my gosh! Because I just recently played Sorry and I was
just painful. Like,
it was hard. So Payday's worse. Oh,
it was worse for me.
Okay.
I guess your mileage may vary on games like that.
I'm sure it would be terrible.
Well, and like, so we would play only like 2 or 3 months worth. We played one game where we played the full year, 12 months through.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Oh my God. I don't know if this is recording the video as well, but my eyes are like, oh my, what did I just do? And it was at that point I started telling Jen, I said, look, we got to pull out the Dr. Finn stuff. We got to pull out Sushi Go. We got to pull out stuff that's not going to make me a maniac.
Yeah. Oh, geez. Good. Well, hey, that's a positive thing to come out of this whole situation. It's awesome.
Silver lining, glass half full. Oh, no more Payday.
So speaking of Dr. Finn, something that just came up recently that Max and I participated in is we started playing in a Dr. Finn's playtest group. So we played for the first time last week. Max, I don't know if you've played subsequent to that.
I actually signed up for yesterday, which was a Saturday, but I totally forgot that I had another family engagement that I had to deal with. So I emailed him and said I couldn't make it. And he said it was no problem. So, no, it'll be something I sign up for again and again. It was fun.
Yeah.
I didn't know you were a part of it.
Yeah, we just randomly both signed up for it. So we played on Tabletopia and we played, what was the game called? Gunrunners?
Gunrunners
or something like that. So it's pretty cool for me from an outsider that doesn't publish games, or not that I've told you guys about, because I don't want Darren to steal my idea.
Well, hold on there.
So it's pretty cool as an outsider to see, you know, Steve was with us playing the game and reacting to things that were happening. He was talking through like, oh, I don't like this way this card works. I don't like the way this works. And he got our feedback. All of mine was probably stupid, but I thought it was really cool to see. So I kind of want to see how the different iterations of the game go and how it turns out in the end.
And you can tell he's probably not early in the process. He's probably somewhere in the middle.
Okay.
Because when I remember when I first, the very first play test of Lords of Baseball, my dad and I said, this is going to be a 20-year game. And I sat down with my friend Ray and we played, and it took us an hour and a half to get through year one. it was at that point I looked at myself and said, this isn't a 20-year game, obviously. Yeah, yeah. So but you could tell that, you know, he had some ideas that were working and he was testing something else. And that's really what playtesting is. It's all about the reacting to, you know, what is this, what is that, and I have an idea for this, and this is the sole thing I'm gonna test in this game. This mechanic.
Yeah. So you've been able to do playtesting virtually now. So
a little bit.
That's cool. So something different. So the one reason we wanted to bring you on to talk about Space Base today is actually you were the one who introduced me to Space Base. And you too, right, Dayron? I think.
Yes, I
was
believe
that
so.
Was that a Double Decon?
It was. Double Decon in February, right before all this happened, like pretty much just 2 weeks before.
No.
I think we're the ones who caused it.
Wasn't it the previous year?
No, it was this year.
Yeah. Oh my God. I honestly don't know what month it is.
I know. It's funny because I was like, I thought that too. Maybe it was last year. And I'm like, no, it can't be. And I checked my app. And sure enough, it was just this year that we were introduced to Space Base by Max.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy.
It is crazy.
DDC so, 2020.
I know. So we've only been playing since February of this year. And, actually, for me, it's already tied for my number one most played game of the year, and I only started playing in February thanks to Max.
Oh, wow. How many plays do you have?
Like 10.
Okay.
It's tied with Bytes, which also has
Bytes.
So. I'm not okay. Familiar with Bytes.
Its name says it all.
It's a good one. Dayron, you played it, right?
No, I haven't played it.
All right, well, you'll hear about that in the future.
So. Oh, good. I can't wait.
So because of that, Max, we wanted to have you on to talk about this because you've introduced us to it and
awesome. Through
that, a lot of other people because we've been playing it a decent amount and I've introduced it to a lot of people who've ended up buying it. So.
That's awesome. It's a great game.
It is. So
that's it. The podcast is over.
All right.
Wait. So before we get started, we have to do what we do in the business called a teaser, I believe it's called.
Okay.
So we're going to have, at the end of this episode, we're going to have a new segment. And it's going to be called... Max, we told you about this. Don't look so surprised.
Nobody told me about it.
Oh, well, better if you don't know things. Okay. So it's going to be called... Deep Thoughts with the Double D's. And what we're going to have it do is have users submit questions about board games, not too specific to us, but just general board game questions. And then we're going to discuss them at the end. So we have a good one, I think, that was submitted by one of our biggest fans. And so we'll get to that later. So you can skip forward for the next 40 minutes if you don't want to hear this and go right to the question.
That's right. The good stuff.
Yeah, the good stuff. But please go on. That was the business I needed to take care of.
So, all right. So for people who don't know about Space Base, Max, I believe it came out in 2018.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's not brand new, but it's new to us this year. And it's 2 to 5 player game. You could pick it up on Amazon for about $33 right now, so it's reasonably priced. And the box has an hour to play, and I think that's pretty accurate.
Yeah,
I mean, I think that's pretty good.
There are certain instances that your mileage may vary if certain things happen, but it's not going more than 2 hours.
Oh no, for sure. Hopefully. So the way it works is in the box you get. I mean, not a ton of stuff, really. 2 dice, a whole bunch of cards, maybe 150-ish cards that all have pictures of spaceships on them. And every player gets their own player board. There's no central board, per se, but everybody gets their own player board. And that player board is used to track just 3 things, your money, your income, and your points. And then it's divided into 12 different sectors. And each of those sectors, you place one of your spaceship cards on. And at any given time, there's 18 cards in the middle of the table that are for sale. So you can buy a new spaceship card on your turn. So all you do on your turn is you roll the 2 6-sided die, and then you use them to activate one of the sectors, one of the 12 sectors on your board. So for instance, if you roll a 5 and a 2, you can choose to activate sector number 2 and sector number 5, or you can add those 2 together and activate sector number 7.
Ooh, you got the math right.
Yeah, well, I wrote it out ahead of time.
Okay, good.
So, I mean, that's basically it. And when you activate a card, typically they give you more income, more money, or more points. And occasionally they give you certain powers that let you, some abilities that let you do something else. But that's really it. And at the end of the turn, you can buy a card from the center. And if you do, it replaces the one. Say you buy a card from sector number 8. That card replaces the one you already have in sector 8. And the one you already have there, you put on kind of on top of your board. And now what's interesting about the game is on someone else's turn, that card that you've deployed on top of your board now activates. So in the future, if Dayron rolls an 8, I get to get the $2 that's on my card that I deployed. And that's it. I mean, that's really...
You can stack them then, which is really cool.
Yes. So you can stack a whole bunch in Sector 8. And so eventually Dayron rolls an 8, and I end up getting 3 points and $8 and a whole bunch of stuff. So it's kind of an engine-building game. But that's really all there is to it. I mean, there's not much else. So anything else I left out? I mean, the rules are simple.
At its core, the only thing you kind of left out was the colonies that you can build, mm-hmm. that they kind of lock down your docks. And mm-hmm. they're just worth points like one time, and if you're close to the end of the game, like, so it's a race game to 40 points.
Yep.
That's so right. If you have 35 points and you can build a 7-point colony, that's a way for you to activate the end game mechanism.
Yeah. And in my mind, it is kind of a combination between, if you play these games, Splendor and Machikoro.
Yeah, it's a lot like Machikoro.
Yeah, the Machikoro, the mechanics, and Splendor are kind of the objective. Here's a bunch of cards for sale. You build an engine by buying them, and your first one to get to a certain number of points wins. And the colonies are almost like the nobles in Splendor. So with that, let's talk about some of our pros and cons of Space Base. Max, why don't you start? What's something you like about Space Base?
Number one thing with me, as with any game, and I'll combine, when you guys told me about this, I got really excited because I like Space Base, and I made a list of like 13 pros and 13 cons, so I'll combine some of them for you.
Okay, good.
The first thing for me...
I got to go to work sometime.
With any game, what's the reason why you sit down and play a game? Not because you want to sit and think really hard or... This game is just fun, and it's a game that you can teach while you play. Yeah. I think it's light enough to be a gateway game, but it's heavy enough that, you know, a hardcore gamer like us will find some joy there.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it comes to the point where we're fun wise, like I play this with my family a lot, and my son will load up 11s and 12s. And it's kind of like a joke, like, but I'll tell you what, when my wife rolls an 11, he gets to scream, and it's that fun. Kind of fun.
Yeah.
There's some analytical thought. There's, like, in the rule book, they actually tell you the odds of each number getting rolled. So you can, you can think analytically about it, but at the end of the day, it's a dice game, right?
Yes.
So you can have a lot of fun with it while you're teaching somebody how to play it. It's not something, it's not a game where you have to lay out 20 minutes of rules. I mean, Darren, you did it in like 6.
Yeah.
And that you did a fine job. But you can do that while you're playing.
And that's exactly what I was going to say, your point where you said you could teach while you play. If I'm teaching somebody to play this, and I did just yesterday, I give the same spiel I just gave and then said, okay, let's just start. And they're not missing out on anything. I mean, you're teaching as you play. And after one surround the table, they're like, all right, we got it.
to be fair, that's what Howie does. And that always winds up in a disaster when he teaches a game.
It usually does. That's true. But with this game, it really, I don't see how it can. Like, it's just easy.
I probably taught it that way when I taught you guys. I probably said, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. Now, the key to me about teaching a game is get the people playing as fast as you can.
Yeah.
They don't want to sit and listen to me talk. My students don't want to sit and listen to me talk. I know you guys don't want to sit here and listen to me talk. Let's play the game. Let's go.
Our two listeners don't even want to hear you talk.
All right, Dayron, what's your pro? What do you like about Space Base?
So the only thing I wrote down was that it's not Splendor. So we can move on.
You don't like Splendor, but you like this.
Yeah. I don't like Splendor. So let me go. We can kind of revisit that. But what I wrote down is no downtime. So the fact that on your turn you're rolling and then everybody else could possibly gain something. Everybody's always engaged, and the turns are quick, so it keeps on moving. So even when it's not your turn, you will have maybe a minute between turns. You're still collecting stuff.
Yeah.
Side note, that can be a con, as you guys know, is if you're trying to play and there's something going on where someone's distracted. Like we played a game tonight where my daughter wanted to do an art project, and my wife had to keep on helping her like put together the Legos or do whatever. Right. And I was like, oh, come on. Because you had, like, you have to be paying attention because you got to collect stuff. So that, but if you're looking for a game where everybody's engaged constantly, this is it. It's perfect. Yeah.
I had something along the same lines. I thought it was a really, there's very few five player games that I think are enjoyable for everybody because there's usually too much downtime with a five player game. This is one that we play with five players and I think it's fine. You're doing something on every turn, especially later in the game when you, once you've deployed cards to almost every sector, you're always getting something. And then you can start thinking, oh, when it comes to me, what do I want to buy? You know, you have time to think about that. And it doesn't, unless someone snatches the one card you want, it doesn't really change all that much. So,
yeah, that's very true. All right, Darren, what do you have for your pro?
Well, I had written down both of the things that you guys said. So another one I like about it is based on the cards that come out, there's a lot of different variety in the game. So from game to game, it's very different. I feel it's a lot like Splendor, but it's completely replaced Splendor for me because I feel Splendor's always the same. I want that card. I'm going to get a few red and, you know, green, and I'll get by it. You know, in this, there's a lot of variety based on the cards that come out because you're trying to put together a good combination or a good strategy. You know, like you said, Max, you can load up 11 and 12s big and then hope to get lucky. And, you know, I mean, it pays off.
And the more people that are playing, the more viable that strategy becomes. Yes. If you're playing a two-player game, that's not going to hit as much.
Exactly.
But with three other people rolling for you, yeah, the odds are better.
And that's what I like about it. It's always different, whereas I feel Splendor's always the same whenever you play it. I like Splendor. I'm like Dayron.
And I'm somewhere in the middle. I'll play if there's nothing else to do.
Yeah. And well, like
nothing else.
But now that I have this, I don't know if it's going to be hard for me to get Splendor back out because I think there's just so much more variety in this. And not to mention, in any typical game, we really only see maybe half the cards. Like, you don't go through all the cards.
Again, that depends on how many players are playing.
I mean, that's true. Yeah, it can be. But
there's so many cards.
There's so many cards, yes.
You're not going to see them all.
And it depends what order they come out in and if one strategy will work or not. So I like the almost endless variety in it. So, Max, what else do you got?
So you guys hit three of my 13, which is good.
All right, good. So, We're moving along.
How about this? This is kind of goofy because I had all this written out, and one of my pros was, and I'll read it verbatim for you, someone can roll a 5-2 and take a 7, but I'm allowed to take the 5 and the 2. So it's just weird that you picked the 5 and 2 when you did your rules explanation.
Yes.
So what I really like is it gives players choices.
Yeah.
I rolled a 5 and a 2. I want the 7. Well, Darren wants to activate his 2 and his 5. He's allowed to do that.
Yeah.
So this is one thing that Space Base really improves over Machikoro. Like in Machikoro, the rule is, well, whoever rolls gets to pick one or two dice, and then everybody else lives with it. In this game, it just says, look, roll two dice, and then whatever happens will happen.
Yeah.
And I like the choice that it gives you as an opposing player that, you know, okay, you're going to take a 7. Well, I'm going to take the 5-2 instead.
Yeah. No, I agree.
So I think choice is done well in this game.
Yep.
And the reason Darren picked 5 and 2 was that it's how high he can count. So that's no coincidence.
Dayron, what else do you like about
Space? What do I even add to this podcast? something along the lines you guys had said about dice games. So I like dice games, and there's different types of dice games you can play. So you can play games like Las Vegas, where you're just chucking dice, and there's really not much strategy. You got to decide, am I going to put two ones on a space or two twos on a space? But it's fun because everybody's kind of cheering and there's stand-up moments and things like that. Then you can go all the way to a heavier game like Grand Austria Hotel or Marco Polo, where it's basically just a Euro game, but you roll some dice and you have to react to that and use those to do actions. And those are good games, but if I'm looking for something more fun, I'm going towards the Las Vegas. What I like about Space Base is it has those Las Vegas moments where you're rolling, like you said, your son Max is like, oh, rolled an 11, that's great. But it has enough strategy where you're if you don't come up with a strategy, some sort of plan, like I'm going to load up on eights and then have something that manipulates the dice to help me out, then it's not going to work. But there's still those good moments where, all right, I just need a 12 here, and somebody rolls it and everybody's cheering or groaning or whatever. So I like it just falls right in
your cheering
middle. Yeah, you're cheering. My son's cursing. Yeah, he just started cursing. So I just like that if it falls in that middle, because I love Las Vegas, fun game. Yeah. If I want to play something a little more strategy and a little more game, what I would play.
All right, my next point is kind of along the same lines, that I feel that there's kind of like you're trying to discover the best strategy for the cards that are on the table. And to me, and it doesn't happen in every game, but the fun is like setting up a good strategy. Like, there's cards that when you activate, they also activate the card next to them. And so you load up two or three cards in a row, like if you put them on the 6, 7, and 8, anytime you roll a 6, 7, or 8, you're going to score 5 points or 6 points. And getting that set up and then watching it just pay out every other turn and watching everybody else realize, oh, I can't beat that strategy. Yep. You know, it's fun to hit one of those strategies. You can't always do it. It's not always viable, but it's fun looking for that and then trying to set it up. And
in a sense, it's like it's got a little of that flavor of Terraforming Mars, where you get like a bunch of cards, you see a bunch of cards, and you decide like, oh, I'm gonna try this game, even though I played this game a lot. I'm gonna try something new. It's obviously a little more limited, but you can do that. You can load up on a certain number, load up on a certain dice manipulation strategy. So I like that.
Yeah, I agree. All right, Max, what else you got?
Okay, so I'll give you a game one and then like a meta one. So the game one, I think the market is set just enough that there's always going to be at least one card that's going to be worthless. Very rarely do you see a market where nothing is valuable. Right. So there's a cat and mouse aspect of it. Like, so every turn, and this is an important game mechanism, if you have $12 and you buy a ship that costs two, your money goes all the way down to zero and then goes up to wherever your income or your economy is. So if you have, and this has happened to me a bunch, I have $12 and the thing I really want to buy is 14. There's a race to get that card because somebody else might want that card too. Yeah. I like the cat and mouse of, well, he's got $15 and he might buy that now. Do I just buy something or do I wait?
Yeah.
And that goes back to player choice, which I think is really cool. And then the meta part that I don't think a lot of people might think about, I think setup and tear down is super easy, and everything fits in the box, which is important. And we're going to talk about the expansion later, but I have the expansion all in the original box. And if I'm buying a game, setup and tear down, that's important to me because sometimes games take an hour to set up. Right. This is not like that.
I agree. That's a really good point. It's very quick to set up and teach and start playing.
It will be quicker when Danique or Howie 3D prints me the nice little card holders that Danique has. So this is a plea to them to just make it for me, even if they even listen to the show. I don't think
card holders.
It's so it puts out each market in a set of six. It's like just a little plastic tray. It's nice, and then the cards stack next to it. So.
Okay.
It's not necessary at all, but anything they print for their games necessary?
You guys have shows about that.
Yes, shows about that.
Do I need this?
Whole opuses dedicated to Howie's madness.
All right, Dayron, what else do you like about Space?
All right, I got one last one. Because
I'm out.
There's too many words here. I was just going to talk about the scalability of player count. So I think this is really good for a game like this that you can play. You said five players. Five players I think might be the best because it gives you that chance to collect when you're not rolling, and there's a whole different strategy you can build based on that. You go down to four, it's kind of the same, but you get to roll more often. And then three, obviously, you can tweak a little bit, so you're trying to focus more on your own ships, what you roll on your turn. two players. I don't know if you guys have done this, but play with the dummy players.
Mm-hmm. So my son and I have the dummy player.
Yeah, so yeah. You do two humans and then two dummies. So in between each player's turn, somebody, you know, do you roll for a dummy, and then every, you know, you collect off of your top side of your board.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really fun. It gets a little confusing because you'd be like, oh, is it my turn or is it my dummy's turn? And then,
so you know, we play two players a decent amount. We play with dummy players, and we have a separate pair of dice for the dummies to keep it from getting confusing. But
shaming me because I can't afford a second pair of dice.
That's true.
We should start a GoFundMe for dice for
dummies. But yeah, I think we like playing two players, but I do like playing with the dummy player, and it's easy.
I'll tell you what, Darren, and I just thought of this when the other Darren talked about player count. So there is actually a big box called Command Station that it looks like an expansion, but it's not. It's really just the original game in a much larger box in order to house the additional expansions that are coming. Okay. It comes with two extra player boards, so you can play up to seven, which I think is that might be overkill. But yeah. it also comes with special colored dice for every player. So if you want to buy it simply for the dice, you can do that.
That's tempting.
GoFundMe Command Station for the board game losers, please. And it comes with, if you sleeve your games, it comes with 350 sleeves. So I don't sleeve my game, but that's...
Right, no, we don't. Interesting.
Well, Darren, that's going to have to be something you buy me, so get on that.
I might need it for myself. I mean, and Daron, this is, we forgot to mention, this is one of the few games that we both own.
It's true. I just bought this last week. And with this airs, that'll be 6 months ago. So that'll
If you would have told me earlier, I'd have told you about Command Station, and you would have gotten those seven player boards to play with.
Darn it.
Five dummy players you can play with.
And actually, everybody else I've introduced it to has bought it as well. We played it yesterday and with Derek, who was on the show before, and he already ordered it. So
nice.
Everybody buys it. It's a really good one. So, all right, I'm out of points to say. Okay. Max, what else?
I got a couple. Now, there some of them are just kind of silly. Number one, this goes to teaching. I love the color coding system. And the way I teach people is on your turn, you're looking for the color blue, and blue and you rhyme. And when you flip it, everything is red, and red is just everybody else.
Yeah.
The green is special, unique stuff, and the yellow are colonies. And color coding for me just makes it easier to teach.
Yeah.
I think there's one card in the level 3 era, and this is not like a big spoiler. It's called the You Win card.
Yes,
I think that card is awesome. Like, there's just one card that if you roll, like, and if it's in a four-player game, you got to hit it like three times. Yeah. You just win. That's it.
Yeah,
I think that's
hard to set up. It's a number 12, 11 or 12.
Is it 12? Yeah, because my son played with it this time. He got one. He got one charged, and you know, it was not going to happen.
But I've had a friend win with it, which is just. I mean, you don't want to see your game end like that, but it's kind of cool. Funny when it does.
Yeah.
And the last one that I will mention, and this goes to scaling, if you don't want to play for a full hour, maybe you only have 20, 25 minutes, there's nothing stopping you from, instead of starting the game with with five money, no planets, and no victory points, just start the game with 20 victory points and five planets.
Mm-hmm.
And now you've taken the game that's going to last an hour, and you've shrunk the time. You only have to get half the victory points, and you already have an income built up.
Yeah.
So the scaling of time with this game, you can chop it in half very easily and not lose any of the actual gameplay. I think that's cool.
And I think that's a very good transition, unless, Daron, you have any other pros?
No.
Okay, good. Because I had what you said, Max, as a con, but I worded it in a different way. I think you almost have to play with... the variant. I think you need a variant of the game, which gives you a little jump start once you've played it once or twice. And in the book, in the rule book, there's a variant that says start with $15 and buy as many cards as you can and deploy them right away. Because without that, the first few turns, when somebody else rolls, nothing happens. And you're just deploying a $2 card, nothing's really happening. So I think for me, a con is I don't like to play that way. The first time I teach somebody, I will. But we always start with $15. You draw four level one and two level twos. And then, and this is not in the rule book, but we do it, you draft those cards.
Okay.
Because I dig that. Otherwise, somebody can get like, oh, I got two income on number seven. And it's hard to come back from that. So I think they should have more variants, at least listed in the rule book to... Because you figured that out, Max, right? But I don't think everybody would figure that out, that it, once you've done played that way, there's no going back in my mind. It takes the first 10 minutes, which really drags on, and the game is not won or lost in those 10 minutes. Nothing really happens.
I agree with that.
So for me, I wish they would make that more obvious in a rule book. So
that might be the most that might be the most negative you've ever been about a game. Aspect.
No, I agree with Max. I mean, I agree with Max. The it's a positive that you can play that way.
Yeah.
To me, I'm saying it's. You don't have to play that. I feel you have to play that way.
It's like the job interview question when they ask you, you know, what's your biggest weakness? Oh, yeah. I'm always on time. I can't help it.
I'm too motivated.
You can twist. Yeah. You twist that negative into a positive, and I didn't even think of it like that. And you're totally right. Where the beginning of the game can bog down a little bit, and I think that's probably more prescient, if that's a word, in a five-player game. Because a lot of the games I've been playing have been three players, so oh my gosh, if Derek or Jen don't hit my number, it's cool, it's my turn again anyway. So the more players you have, I think the more I like that drafting idea. I really do.
It makes the game, once you have people who know how to play, it makes it a lot more strategic, a lot more fun.
If you're drafting any cards, you have to know the cards to be
And the draft, we do it really quick. So, you know, it's just seven cards, you know. So so they hint at the variant in the rule book. I wish they'd flesh it out more. But all right, Devron, what's your con there?
All right. So I'm going to go with, I think it's for teaching and just for me initially when I played the game, I played it like once every couple months. It was those charging the charging action. So what that is, and you didn't really talk about this, but you know on one of your cards, your card seven card will have a box, and it's if you roll it you get to charge that up, and then once it's charged, once you have a cube there, you can do an action. That action might be manipulate your dice. So somebody rolls a seven, you get to manipulate that dice up to an eight. It's I don't know what it is, but every time I've played it and with new people, it takes them about 2 to 3 games. And in myself included, I played it.
Me too.
Spaced out. And then every time I played, I was like, wait, what happens? So I rolled it, but I don't get to use it. And then when do I get to use it? Because it matters what color it is. So if it's red, you can use it only on somebody else's turn. If it's blue, you can only use it on your turn. I don't know if it would benefit from a player aid, but once people get it, it's very easy.
Yeah.
But so that's my only con, and I just don't know the way to teach it correctly. I don't know if you guys have had any luck.
I mean, I 100% agree. That was one of my cons. When Max, you first taught it to me, I was like, okay, I kind of get that, but I'm just going to ignore those cards, and I play fine.
I think a lot of new players probably do that.
They do, and when I taught it yesterday, one of the new players said, those are kind of confusing. Can I just ignore those cards? I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what I did. And it doesn't hurt the gameplay. I mean, you're not going to be able to make the big combos without them. But I agree, and I don't know of a really better way to explain it. I think it might have come down to the graphic design of the game. Maybe they could have come out with a better way to do it. But like Dayron said, once the players get it, 2 or 3 games, it's not hard.
One of my cons was the icons take some time to learn. I think that's kind of what you're going into right here. Like once you get it, though, you get it. And it's always been one of my biggest grievances with Race for the Galaxy, which is another space game. Those icons just never clicked for me. These did. And it does. It's one of those, like when I was taught Race for the Galaxy, they said, well, you need to play it like 10 times. I don't have time to play a game I don't like 10 times.
Right.
This one, like, I could see 2.
Yes. Yep.
Because there are so many cards till you might see the way this combo works with that, like, that die manipulation card.
Yeah.
Then you start to get it.
Yeah. No, yeah, I agree. It's not a major problem, but it could be better. And that kind of goes along with one of my other cons, and kind of along the same line, is the theme. Like, I feel the theme is fine. It's just very weak and doesn't help you. Yeah, it's just, there's some spaceships.
You don't feel like you're running a space station and docking spaceships? And
I just, yeah, that's the thing. There's no theme. There's just pictures of spaceships. The art is fine.
I'm not a big theme guy for the most part, so that made my list because it was on there. But it's so far down, it's the last con that I had on the list.
Yeah, I feel it doesn't take away from the game. I just think maybe there's a missed opportunity to connect the theme to the mechanics to make those issues go away a little more.
The theme comes a little bit more in the expansion. A little bit.
Oh, okay.
Not a ton, but a little bit.
Okay.
Awesome.
So we'll tease that there for you.
All right, what other negatives do you have, Max?
So my number one negative, and this is not a negative. So a lot of my cons, don't look at it as a cons for me, but I'm just trying to be open with the audience. The number one con is it is a dice game. So if you're not into luck, you're going to have to deal with a lot of it because you throw in the random market cards that come out, and there's a lot of luck in this game. And what I wrote down was, it ain't chess, get over it. it's fun, but if you continue to roll twos and threes and you want fives and sixes, there's not a lot you can do.
Yeah.
But at some point, the bell curve of die rolling will even things out for you. But if you're not into luck-based games, there's luck all over this game. But I have a friend who does not like dice games. Like, he's not a big luck guy, and he loves this game. And he can't explain why. He can explain why, because it's fun.
Yes.
That's the only explanation he can come up with.
Yeah. I had luck as a con as well, and I agree with you, said it perfectly. Like, it's not necessarily a con for me. I could see some people saying, hey, there's too much luck. To me, it adds the fun element, and the luck is kind of mitigated because you know statistically where do you want to invest your chips. I mean, that's up to you. And, you know, there was a game when I was playing against Annette, and I was winning by like 20 points, and then she got this card that's like two times, you know, it allows you to double whatever you hit. And she had one group that had like scored like 10 points. Literally, she rolled that. She charged up the two times, rolled it, and got like 20 points one turn, and beat me by like 2 points. Like, and I couldn't really be mad. You know, I mean, I was not happy about it.
Beat her senseless though.
And that example, that's not the norm. So you cannot look at this game and say, "Wow, it's really swingy." Exactly. It can be if you get those two cards, charge it, and like there's a lot of things that have to go into that. So situationally, you just got to look at that and say, "Bummer, I got had by the dice."
Yeah. Because if it would have been the opposite, I would have been like, "In your face, you know,
you stupid jerk."
So, and I would have been very excited.
At least you're consistent.
Yeah, so there is that, but I think it adds the fun, exciting element to it. So, but some people may hate it for that, and I get it. So, Dayron, what cons do you have?
I think this is a normal thing you see in engine building games where you're kind of building up, in this case, stacks of cards or combinations of cards, and it's definitely a problem in Machi Koro, which we've discussed is a runaway leader problem, or more importantly, is when you just feel like you don't have a shot at all. And there's some games where you'll be looking like, I got nothing going on, and then maybe I'll start to develop something on like the 10, but then I look over at Darren's board and he scores 8 points every time it's a 10's rolled. So it doesn't do me any good. And I've had a couple games where I looked over, I was like, I can't possibly catch up. And I remember when we played Machi Koro, you had that problem.
Yes,
You just were looking, you said, why am I even playing this game? Like, I had no chance. And I said, well, you are not the brightest and you made a lot of bad decisions. But it's just, I think you're just going to have to go into it knowing that once in a while you're going to get behind and it's kind of going to kind of stink. You just got to put all your money on the 12 and hope you get lucky and swing it around.
I agree with you, but I feel that doesn't happen as often as it does in Machi Koro, and it doesn't happen as early as it does in Machi Koro.
Very true.
And when it happens in this game, you realize you know what? They're going to win in three more turns. It's going to be over. I might as well buy this 12 and hope for the best. And I'm okay with that because it, Machikoro, I feel like three turns in, I could be out of the game.
And you were in that game.
Yeah, I know.
It was ridiculous.
That hasn't happened in this game, but what you described has happened.
Yeah.
But it's usually pretty late in the game, and so, I'm okay with that. But
okay.
Anything else, Max?
I got a couple here that I'll cycle through, and this is, I guess, purely me, and this is the one con that I told you about that I legitimately feel somewhat strongly about. The cards are hard to shuffle because they are thinner. And I totally understand why they have to be thinner, because if you had 12 poker-style cards, the footprint on the table would be insane. So
the cards are very narrow.
So you have to – but what, if you go slow, that's fine. Again, a lot of these cons are me just kind of being nitpicky. So the cards are hard to shuffle. I have run into this where in the market – if I'm looking, and this is a me thing, I sometimes confuse the cost with what dock number they'll replace. Yes. I get really excited about a five and realize, oh, that costs $5.
Yeah,
that's going to go in the one dock.
That I agree with that, and I think that's a graphic design issue. They could have made that more clear.
Yeah.
Yeah, agree.
I would say that when you're dealing with those cards that you charge, sometimes they change based on the number of players. And the dots that they put on the card, sometimes they're hard to see. Is that a two? Yeah. Is that a three?
Yeah.
That's more graphic design-y type stuff. I do think that there needs to be some kind of I can't think of the word. The strategy they say for this situation is I can't think of the English word for this, so they think you're bilingual. I'm just really dumb. There needs to be a mechanism or a system if the market is devoid of VP cards for a long time, because we could be building up
flush the cards.
Like we could just be looking at miles and miles of cards that are only money and only planets.
The game becomes a slog. Yeah,
and then we're like, oh, there's no way to score points except for getting colonies. But again, that's rare.
Yeah.
And one of the last things that I'll mention is if I like multiplayer solitaire, largely that's what this is. The only interaction is in the market. And do I buy this ship or this colony before somebody else does?
Yeah.
There's one card. And a lot of people that I know take it out.
Oh, I hate this card.
It's a level 3 card. It costs $13, so it's expensive. But every time you roll a 7, everybody else loses 4 points.
Hate it.
And then
I don't think I've seen that one yet.
And then you get the build. You get a free build. So you get a free build. Everybody loses 4 points. That's the only attack card in a game that really doesn't have a lot of attacking like that. Yeah, I don't know why that card made it. It really just seems so out of place.
It doesn't make any sense. I wish if they were going to go that way, they have like almost like an expansion with attack cards. And so we played a game with that card and Charlene had it. And I think Danique was like, she was winning. It was one of those situations. We all knew she was going to win, but Charlene kept on playing the card. It just extended the game. And I was like, stop it. We're all going to lose. There's no possible way. Every number that's rolled, she gets more than everybody else. Just stop it. Yeah. So I've considered throwing away the card, but I haven't done it yet.
I won't throw it away, but it's very rare that I enjoy when that card is active.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say.
So, Dayron, do you have anything else?
Just a bit more on that the card thing. Sometimes it's so fiddly to get those cards underneath the board again and stack them up. And like, I don't even have big fat sausage fingers like you do, Darren. And Max too. He's holding up his fingers. And I sit there struggling. I'm like, God damn it! I need a felt table or something. But so yeah, it's minor.
Yeah, I actually bought game mats specifically for this game to put under the cards because they are hard to pick up. And now when we play, and I wouldn't do this with new players, we just put the cards on top of the board. Don't tuck them underneath. Put them under your card that is already there.
Okay.
I wouldn't do it for new players because I think they can get confused easier. But we played enough. You can just say, I'm just tucking it under the card that's already there, not under the board. So that's what we've been doing.
If you're like my son, though, and you deploy like 9 cards on the 11,
then it gets to,
you're still going to have to stick them underneath.
Yeah. So, Max, you mentioned the expansion. Neither of us have it. Although
in about 20 alert. Minutes after I tell you about it, you guys are going to be on Amazon buying it.
Well, I already ordered it.
So right now, as we were speaking,
yesterday.
Okay.
Because I knew, I don't know much about it, but I knew there's a new variety of cards, and
well, it's actually a storage. I will tell you as much about it as I can without spoiling the story.
Okay.
Because one of the pros is it brings a theme to a themeless game. It's something where, you know, if you follow along with it, it's, you know, module one, there's a little bit of a story that goes along with it, and then it adds stuff, and I'll leave it at stuff. Some of it is cards and some of it is stuff.
All right.
But okay. The pro number one, the expansion does not rewrite the original rules. It just adds to them in a way that honestly lets you keep what you like and just get rid of what you don't like. Like if you play through module one and you're like, well, this is dumb, I don't want to do this, just get rid of those cards. It's like, I always joke, like the designer of the game is not going to knock on your door and say, you're having fun wrong. Put those cards back in there, right?
Yeah. Well, when we get Lords of Baseball, you actually might do that.
Numerous times. I will inform you of how much fun
you know where I lived.
Oh, so, I mean, it's an expansion that, like, there's some expansions of games that, like, rewrite the rules. You could literally shuffle the entire expansion into the base game and then teach the base game.
Okay.
It is that seamless.
It's more variety
of a transition. More variety. Okay. Now, con number one.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you need to play through the whole game with the same set of people?
No.
Not at all. Okay.
Not at all. I mean, I started out with my friend Matt, and I finished with Derek and Jen.
Okay. Oh, cool. Okay.
But con number one, there are more icons to learn. Still just as easy. I mean, I think off the top of my head, I can think of four or five new symbols. And the rule book that comes with the expansion, the way it does it, it's kind of like teaching, where there's five new concepts, and we're going to introduce concept one. You're going to learn it.
Yeah.
Then we're going to introduce concept two while we still do concept number one. Okay. So you're scaffolding all the way up to the final experience that you have in the expansion. And then once that final experience is done, you can choose to play with that final experience or play with something else that they and it's totally your choice. The one part of it my wife just didn't like because she just didn't. And my son and I thought it was okay, and we would joke with her, and we would show her the card that she didn't like, and she would be like, oh, get that away from me. And it got to be fun like that. But honestly, pro is you don't have to follow the story. If you want to just crack the whole thing open, there are two mystery boxes, which, ooh, I mean, like that's one of the coolest parts of board game expansions is like when you see like mystery box number one and the rules tell you to open it. You're like, hey, what's coming in? So like once you crack open the mystery boxes, that's the stuff. Okay. And it's really cool to it's cool and easy. It's not a difficult learn. I'm terrible with rule books, but I was able to learn with the rule book. So like another pro is the rules of the expansion are laid out very, very well. Like each module is really only two pages of a book that is not like the same size as the base game. It's a you see the box. I mean, the rules are that size.
Yeah. Okay. I guess I'm glad to hear that you like it, because I will be getting it in a few days.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Damn it. I'm going to order it right
now. The other con that I can think of, right? It's tough for me to tell you how cool it is because I don't want to spoil it.
Right.
That's one of the biggest cons. You can't tell people about it because you don't want to be that guy.
Well, as soon as I get it, I'm going to play it. I'm going to tell Dayron.
Tell him right up. You be the best.
I'm not going to be that guy.
I'm not going to go to work for like 6 months until I get it myself. Nice. Nice. Right, so I think the final thing we have to do before we move on to our new segment is just tell, you know, who do you recommend this for? Because the purpose of this podcast. Well, actually, I don't know what the purpose is. I think it's for Darren to get drunk, and I don't know what it is for me. But it's just, we're trying to recommend games for people that are maybe newer to gaming. But so we talk about, who do you recommend this game for? So, Max, why don't you go first? Who would you recommend this game for?
Well, first of all, anyone seems to be like a blanket answer, but honestly, somebody who is, like I said, is okay with a little bit of luck and likes the possibility of goofy fun and can accept the fact that, you know, they don't control their destiny. I think if it's a new gamer, somebody new, as long as there's somebody like one of us who can teach and help, I do wonder if like four brand new board gamers could pick this up and figure it out. I'm sure they could, but with the symbology on some of it, I think the enjoyment level might be a little bit less if everybody's brand new to board gaming. But if you have four people and one of them is a gamer enough that and willing to help people, I think pretty much anybody can enjoy this game. I would go as far down as 10 years old with no help. I'm 7 years old with some help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean, you get a 7 year old to roll the dice and you give them a choice. Do you want one coin or two coins?
Yeah.
Well, that's the easy choice is easy, right?
Yep. And then you punish them if they don't know.
And say, these are the cards you're allowed to buy and just let them buy. There's very little mistakes that a kid can make.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. I think it's for everybody except for maybe the most hardcore Euro gamer who doesn't like any bit of luck. And I get some, you know, those people won't like this game. But everybody else, families, you know, just occasional gamers, you know, for a family who's only going to own like maybe 10 games their whole lifetime, this is a good one to have, so along with Ticket to Ride. You know, I mean, it's a good one. You can play with anybody, teach it quickly. And you got to look at the price point at $30 to $35. You can't go wrong. You know, to me that, I mean, that's a big selling point. You know, if it was $60, I might say, hey, you got to be a little more discerning, but $30, it's really a good game for everybody, I think.
I just don't think astronomers are going to like it because it doesn't accurately portray space.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
It's same thing. Everybody's going to like it. I don't think four brand new gamers could learn this game. That rule book is very simple, but it's 40 pages for some reason.
It's 40 pages.
It feels like it.
I'm going to go look at my copy when we're done here.
Max, you taught me the game, and then I got it, and I opened the rule book, and I'm like, what the heck was Max leaving out? Like, he must have missed half the rules there.
Yeah.
Because the rule book is huge. And I've read through it. It's very detailed, but overly so.
Did I miss anything?
No.
Oh, good. I would feel bad if I did.
I mean, I can't really say it's a bad rule book because everything's in there like five times. You know, it's just a little daunting.
So. It's ridiculous. But all right, well, that's great. So we recommend it for everyone but hardcore gamers and astronomers.
Agreed.
And I still think hardcore gamers would enjoy it as long as they know what they're getting into.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So just no astronomers then.
Yeah. I don't know what the astronomers would be thinking. They look at the artwork on the artwork, like every ship kind of looks the same. They're like, oh my gosh, this doesn't look anything like
right there.
Whatever.
awesome. So are we ready to debut our new segment?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm so excited.
You don't seem
excited. I can tell. Look at you.
He's drunk already. It happens. And it's 9 a.m. on a Saturday. Who would have known?
It's Sunday.
Is it?
Yes.
What day is today?
I don't know. Month, day, whatever. All right. So like I said at the beginning, Deep Thoughts with the double Ds. Now, this name is subject to change, but this is the best we came up with. So.
Right.
We want to have listeners, especially the people, because we get emails sometimes from people. We have no idea how they found our show. The five listeners, they just randomly tuned in. They're not one of our friends. We would love questions from them just to get outsiders. So we kind of cheated on this one. We got questions from our first ever guest, Alexis, who, if you've listened to her episodes and you've ever hung out with her, knows she asks the greatest questions in the world just on a general daily basis. So she submitted some awesome questions and we picked one of them. I know you guys have heard this, but for the benefit of the audience, are you ready for the question?
Yes, go ahead.
So the
question, I forgot what it was.
Yeah, good. So you're prepared. If you could be transported to live and compete in a board game universe, which would it be and why?
Whoa, this is heavy.
You need me to read that again?
No, I'm just going to... we'll let Max start.
So when you said board game universe to me, I was afraid that you meant something like the Marvel universe, and like I kind of interpreted this question as, if you could live and work in a board game, what would it be? So if I'm not allowed to say Lords of Baseball, because I mean that would be cool to own a baseball team, I would say a Vegas Showdown.
Oh,
because ooh. Vegas Showdown is a game that I compete in pretty well. I mean, at one point I was the third best Vegas Showdown player in the world.
Ooh, nice.
According to, you know, certain WBC tournaments. So I know how to play. I play pretty well. But it's also, you know, you're running a casino in Las Vegas. It's pretty exciting stuff. You have the tourists coming in, you build up your casino, you get the five-star steakhouse, you get the big entertainment venues going on the hotel side. I think that would be, as far as board games go for me, that I'm not dealing with, you know, trolls and orcs and that I have to slay them in a dangerous world. I could live in Vegas and run a casino. I think that'd be fun.
That's
a good one.
Yeah, and I think you interpreted the question exactly how I interpreted it. So, very good. Darren, what do you have?
Oh, man. Okay. Well, I thought about this for about 2 minutes.
Okay, good. Good.
We all know I like pirate games quite a bit, but I don't think I'd actually want to be a pirate. It's probably pretty smelly and not so glamorous.
Okay, okay.
So I said, no, I eliminated that. I almost went with I really like Uwe Rosenberg's games they're all about farming, you're living in the country, and then you get Agricola and you're like, your family's starving and you can't feed them. So I'm like,
yeah, depressing.
There's so much pressure to have a kid to have them work.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm like,
just leave me alone.
So I figured it out. Everdell, the game with the big giant tree in the board. If you look at the game, it has a beautiful tree in the middle of town, right? Who doesn't want that? There's a nice river flowing through town. And everybody in town is like a happy animal. I mean, you got like... chipmunks. There's chipmunks. Like the mayor is like a rabbit. There's like a squirrel running the post office. The person next door is a toad. Like,
no wonder I never get my mail.
It reminds me of you watch as a kid Mr. Rogers and his Land of Make-Believe. It's like that. I was a kid, I wanted to live in the Land of Make-Believe, right? And with the tigers and whatever else they had there. Now I want to live in Everdell. So my answer.
I've seen your board game room. It is kind of a Land of Make-Believe. So
that seems like a great place.
That's a really good answer. Which animal would you want to be?
Oh, I want to be a human.
Oh, you're going to be a human in the animal world. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe slightly smaller. But.
Slightly smaller. It's a good dwarf.
He's going to get hungry and eat the mare.
I thought
my other one was maybe the Monster Crunch breakfast cereal game, too.
Oh, gosh. That doesn't even make any sense. There's no world there. It's just cereal.
Well, you hang out with Boo Berry and Count Dracula.
True. Okay. Now you're not even trying anymore.
All right. What do you got there?
I thought this was a great question. So I was looking at my board game shelf and I was like, wow, there are a ton of depressing and horrible games. I'm like, Memoir 44? No, I don't think so. Forbidden Island? No, you're dying. You're drowning. So I eventually wound up on, I was split between two and then I added a third one. So I'm going to go my number three choice. Have you guys ever played Between Two Castles of Mad King Ludwig?
Love that game.
Yeah.
So you're building like these castles with your two neighbors. So when we played it, Danique and Howie were my neighbors. And so we were role playing or something like that. I was like, okay, I'm married to Danique, but I'm building a castle with my boyfriend, Howie. And so we were building all these weird rooms in there. We had a really good time playing. I figure if I could be in a world where I'm building two castles at the same time, one for my main house and one for my side piece, I think that's pretty good. That's good. And Howie just happens to be my side piece.
Howie's your side piece, though. That's
sorry, Jill. So I think the one I'm going to settle on, but I'm going to go. So Viticulture, I picked kind of along the way of Vegas Showdown. Like that'd be cool to be running.
That's a good one.
Running a winery in Tuscany, and you're not one of the workers. You're the mama or the papa. You're running the show. Yeah. You're making everybody go out and work. You get to sell and drink wine. But what I landed up on was parks. So parks, you're basically hiking and going to visit national parks. I'm like, okay, that's it. That's easy. That's what I'd like to be doing in my board game universe. That's what I really like to do in real life anyway. So I'm going to go with parks.
Well, that's a good one. Good pick. Yeah, all very creative picks. Mm-hmm. Good question by Alexis. I don't think she gave us her answer, but we have to assume it would be Cat Lady. Just basically her life right now is the game Cat Lady.
I really hope she listens to this because we might have to edit out the last 10 minutes here because she's not going to listen to the first hour. There's no way. No. That's a great answer.
Yes. So if you have anybody listening, and you know, we always joke that we don't have any listeners, but we definitely do, and we appreciate your emails.
No, we don't.
And well, email us a question, and we're going to probably at the end of every episode answer a question. So if you have something, odds are we will answer it on the show. So send us your questions to boardgamelosers@gmail.com.
And please, no questions about why Howie is my side piece. So that's out of bounds.
With that,
including from Howie. Right.
Yeah, Howie's definitely going to email now. I'm blocking his email address right now.
Excellent.
With that, Max, thank you very much for coming back on the show. We don't have many repeat guests. I'm not surprised.
You know what? I'll tell you, I will talk board games with you for anytime you want. If you need somebody like Saturday Night Live, I'll be part of the Five Timers Club. Just give me a call. Here I am, man.
Excellent.
Definitely. And when Lords of Baseball is on Kickstarter, I'm sure we'll have you back on to talk about that. And hopefully next year we can get back to gaming in person.
That would be
great.
Awesome.
All right, thanks a lot, Max. Do you want to take us out?
You want me to take you out, like, to dinner? Or?
So we're going to build a third castle, and the castle's imagining Ludwig.
Oh, Dayron, what do you think?
I will talk to you guys again after later. That's usually my outro.
Okay. Right. And for the real outro, sayonara, everybody.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode. For more information about the podcast, check out www.boardgamesareforlosers.com. If you have questions that you want answered on the show, or if you just want to tell us that you still think we're losers, you can email us at boardgamelosers@gmail.com. You can chat with other losers in our forums over at boardgamegeek.com by visiting guild number 3300. And don't forget to check out our amazing board game photography on Instagram by following @BoardGameLosers.